couple of years back, there was an interview in a newspaper. A famous pianist was taking a farewell tour. And in an interview, he was talking about what it was like to play the piano. And he said you have to be aware of three things. The primary thing, of course, is what are you doing right now? But even before that, you had to plan. What are you planning to do? How do you want this phrase to go? How do you want the whole piece to go? How does this phrase fit into the piece? So you anticipate where you're going. You're looking at what you're actually doing. And then you have to reflect on what you just did. Did that phrasing fit into the concept you had? And you have to make adjustments all along the way. In other words, you find yourself playing the piece in a particular way that you hadn't anticipated. And the question is, are you going to try to move your playing in the direction of where you're going or where you'd plan to go? Or are you going to reconceive what you're doing with the piece as you go on? And then if you are, how much are you going to put on your planning and how much you're just going to be with what's happening right now? Of course, part of the decision is based on what you've just done. How does it sound? If you allow it to go in this new direction, does it seem to be going in a good place, or have you made a big error? Or was the original plan a big error? These are all things you have to evaluate. And the same process is happening while you're meditating on the breath, especially as you're getting the mind to settle down. When you've got a plan here, you want the mind to settle down with the breath. You want the breath to be comfortable. And you have to look at what you're actually doing. Where are you focused? How is the breath going right now? To what extent are you controlling the breath? And to what extent are you allowing the breath to do its own thing? And how's it going? Do you need to make changes? Do you need to make adjustments? So in a sense, you're looking in three directions all at once. A little bit into the future at the present moment and a little bit into the past. And it's necessary that you do this to get the mind in the right trajectory. And sometimes you'll find that your idea of where you wanted this to go is just not happening. Then the question is, okay, was there something wrong with the idea or is there something wrong with what you're doing? What can you change? Is the breath too long? Is the breath too short? Are you focused on the wrong space? Are there other problems with the breath? Or are you carrying issues from the day? Or are the issues from last week? Are the issues from the past year? Are the issues from your whole life? Are they getting in the way? And if they are, what can you do to knock them out for the time being? Some issues are small and you can take care of them right away. Other issues may be more deeply ingrained. What you need there is simply a karate chop. Knock them out for the rest of the hour. So that at the very least you have some space to do the work of the meditation right here. And if you do it properly, you're developing concentration with a lot of mindfulness and with a lot of alertness. So even though it may seem there's a lot of busy work, anticipating the future, looking at the present moment, and evaluating what you've just done, it may seem like a lot of work, but you're focused on one main topic, which is the breath. And this is how you maintain mindfulness and alertness even as the mind gets quiet. Because it is possible to slip off into a state of stillness where you're not really aware of what's happening. And that's not what we want. So you have to anticipate that problem. As soon as the breath gets comfortable, you've got to expand your awareness, either going systematically through the body, section by section, or if you've already done that today, see if you can just set the whole body on fire, like the mantle of a Coleman lantern. You put the match right near the mantle, and whoop, the whole thing turns white, bright, and dazzling. A lot of this will depend on what you've been doing in the course of the day, whether you need to work through breath energy problems in different parts of the body, or if they've already been worked through, how can you just expand everything right away? Explode the energy through the body. Explode your awareness through the body. And then evaluate how it's going. And if you keep these three things in mind, what your plan is for the meditation, what you're actually doing, and how well you're doing it, how well the results are going. This is how the meditation becomes a skill. Because you learn to recognize problems as they come up, and you use your ingenuity to figure them out. See if you can solve them. So these are the three things you have to look at. And one of those, the plan for the evening, the plan for the session, is really important. And how many people I've run into say, well, I'm going to do a little concentration, and then when the mind gets still, then I'm going to switch over to do insight practice. The assumption being that you've got to leave concentration in order to do insight, and that's not the case. As you're working with the breath right here, the mind begins to settle down. You're developing insight on many levels. And simply the act of fending off distractions is an important source of insights right there. In the beginning, the distractions are gross. You sit here and the mind begins to settle down a little bit, and you suddenly realize the mind has some other agendas. It's different members of the committee haven't agreed on what we're going to do for the hour. Some of them say, hey, now that there's this free time, we can plan for tomorrow or hash over what happened today. And you have to develop the insight that enables you to say no to those things and stick with the no. And once the mind has settled down and there's that temptation to say, okay, now we do our insight work. Now just watch and see what happens. What's going to come along to try to destroy your concentration? And if you're aware of the body, aware of the breath energy in the body, you'll start getting quicker and quicker at seeing how a thought forms. And that right there is a huge, an important insight. Because if you can't catch these things quickly, you're going to be aware of them only when they've totally taken over. And then it's really difficult to flush them out of the system. But if you can begin to see a little stirring here, or a little energy not there, just breathe right through it. As quickly as you can, as quickly as you notice these things. And when you do this, you'll begin to see that you catch the mind in different stages of thought formation. And you begin to recognize, okay, this is where it's simply a stirring that's hard to even classify as whether it's a mental stirring or a physical stirring. And this is the point where the mind identifies it as a mental stirring, and this is the point where it gives it a meaning, whether this is a thought about the future, a thought about the past. All these various stages in which the mind can get more and more entangled. And you try to catch these things more and more quickly. And in seeing these different stages, you gain some insight into the process of how the mind creates a state of becoming, how it clings to things, how craving can motivate different perceptions. So simply in the act of protecting your meditation, watching over what you're doing, and evaluating how things are going, you gain a lot of insights. And sometimes we're programmed to say, well, it's not really insight until you see things as inconstant, stressful, and not self. But there are lots of other insights you need, other perceptions you can apply. The Buddha gives a whole list, seeing something as a cancer, seeing as an alien, seeing it as empty, seeing it as a dissolution. And these are all different perceptions that you can apply to peel the mind away from its attachments, or to peel the attachments off of it. And the fact that the insight that has liberated you from a particular thought doesn't fit into a classical term doesn't mean that it's not dharma, that doesn't mean that it's not insight. Whatever frees you from stress, whatever frees you from clinging and craving, it's part of the path. Any insight that does that is an important part of your meditation. So simply protecting your concentration is an important stage in insight. This is why the Buddha said there is no insight, there is no discernment without jhana. In other words, you don't make the mind still only for a brief moment and then switch over to insight practice in order to gain something you write home about, or something you can put in your journal. You try to get the mind still and you try to keep it there. And as you're evaluating this, remember, your anticipation is you're going to keep the mind still with the breath for the hour. And then you evaluate what you're doing. Are you actually doing this? And what are the results? Is there a sense of ease? Is there a sense of well-being? Is the mind energized enough to keep going? Or are you clamping down it in a way that makes the mind lose some of its energy? If it begins to feel like it's getting worn out, in that case, okay, the concentration is out of balance. You've got to do something to energize the mind. Other times it's moving around too much. You've got to get it still down, settle down. When things are going well, you can let go of a lot of the evaluation. Just simply keep note of the fact that you're going to stay here with this breath and try to fend off anything else that interferes. When the ease and well-being get really strong, your potential disturbances, the potential distractions, get less and less interesting. But there's always the potential there. This is why you have to be heedful. This is why you have to be watchful. And this is also how you maintain mindfulness as you get the mind into deeper and deeper states of stillness. So in this way, even though you are focused primarily on the present, you're looking forward a little bit and you're looking backward a little bit. Forward in the determination you're going to be mindful, and backward in your evaluation. This is why the Buddha says the active parts of the first jhana are directed thought, evaluation, and singleness of preoccupation. The directed thought anticipates the future a little bit, the evaluation checks the past a little bit, and the singleness of preoccupation is focused on the present. So if you have the right notion of what you want to do, and you develop your sensitivity in evaluating things, this is how the mind can settle down. Not simply be still, but be aware and alert, and gaining insights as you maintain your stillness. So try to keep all of these dimensions of the concentration going.